We should start off by mentioning why John Alberti is here. We were reading an article a few months ago about the upcoming Simpsons movie, and they quoted John Alberti. I have it right here. John Alberti, a professor of English at Northern Kentucky University and recognized Simpsons scholar. John Alberti, thanks for being here in the studio with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
And the first big question is, how does one become a recognized Simpsons scholar?
Well, I guess there's a lot of ways you can do that. Some people do it just by creating a website. I did it kind of the old-fashioned academic way. I put together an essay collection on The Simpsons, looking at The Simpsons as a form of a political satire. And that entire project took about 5 or 6 years in soliciting the essays from different other Simpsons experts in academia and putting it together into a book and getting that published and writing the introduction. And as soon as the book came out, I'm The Simpsons Scholar.
So the book we're talking here is called Leaving Springfield, and you put that together. You're the editor of the book. How did you start studying the show? What made you begin to take it much more seriously than most of us?
Well, really, I think the way I got into The Simpsons is not all that much different than the way those of us in the humanities found our other forms of study, you know, whether it's literature or music or art. Originally, we're just attracted to a particular writer or a particular musician, and our interest leads us to ask questions more in depth and to sort of pursue those interests in a deliberate way. And for me, with The Simpsons, it was being a fan of the show. And in particular, being really fascinated by how such a non-mainstream sort of subversive kind of cartoon show could become a part of mainstream American culture. I've been familiar with Matt Groening's work from the early 80s when he was an underground alternative comics artist in the alternative press. And when he was given a television show on the new Fox network, it was one of those moments where somebody you thought would never, ever get a television show was given time on a national network. Fox at the time was brand new. They were looking for any sort of programming that would give them an edge, that would make them seem distinctive, and particularly that would appeal to a youth market. And that opened the opportunity for The Simpsons. So I was initially excited that the show was on the air and then was further interested by how popular it became. And it's now the longest-running sitcom, the longest-running animated show in television history with no sign of really leaving unless the creators of the program get sick of doing it. It remains a pretty steady ratings gatherer for Fox. So I started as a fan and pursued some of those questions I had about the show in just a more serious and careful way to think about what The Simpsons says about American culture.
You know, you look at it so seriously, and yet the show itself, well, here's a quote from Matt Groening. Stupidity and the love of stupidity is universal. That's what he says. That's one of the reasons The Simpsons is so popular all over the world. It's just amazing. Now, is it possible that people elsewhere look at this show and think, aha, this is what the United States, this is what America is really like?
Well, I do think there's an element of that. In fact, one of the essays in my book is by an Australian scholar, and he writes about the reception of The Simpsons worldwide. You know, The Simpsons has always had this sort of two-pronged appeal that Matt Groening is kind of speaking to there. On the one hand, it's a cartoon. It features bright colors, a lot of physical humor. As you said, and a lot of the sort of sight gags translate anywhere in the world, you know, somebody falling down or hitting themselves in the head with a hammer. That's sort of a universal language of comedy, and it's also the part of the show that can appeal to very young children. They may not understand all the cultural references, but Homer is certainly very silly, and Bart's always getting into scrapes. But then on the other hand, it has this incredibly densely written script with all sorts of allusions to both serious culture, pop culture, politics, religion, that kind of goes past in a mile a minute that not all the fans are sort of catching. So when you translate that overseas, you kind of wonder, what are people thinking? And one of the things Duncan Beard suggested was for him and his friends in Australia, they were kind of graduate students in Australia, they saw it as a satire of American life, but they assumed that Americans didn't get it, that Americans just thought it was a funny show, but that the creators of The Simpsons was sort of sending out a message to the rest of the world about America that Americans didn't necessarily understand. And I think there's a dimension that Homer is seen both as a satire of America and perhaps as a typical American, for better or ill.
We're speaking with John Alberti, who is a professor at NKU of English and also big time into The Simpsons. I think one of the keys of that show's success over the years, and maybe you've heard this, I read that the creators of The Simpsons, they've got a deal with the Fox Network where they don't have to go through the usual network standards or censorship that other programs have to go through.
Right. They've been pretty free of a lot of interference from standards and practices. Part of the leverage they have is that the show is so dependent on the continuing interest of some key producers like Matt Groening or James Brooks, that they'd be willing to pull the plug if they weren't interested and if they weren't getting the freedom from Fox. It's sort of a two-way street. The writers themselves have also admitted that they will, as do all, I think, people in the media, censure themselves a bit. They have a whole series of gags they would never put on the air, sort of really over the top, or potentially offensive material that they sort of write just for themselves. They've had an interesting relationship with Fox. They will often make fun of the Fox Network. They refer to Rupert Murdoch as a billionaire media tycoon and tyrant. And they almost, according to Matt Groening, Fox denies this, but I trust Matt Groening more than the Fox Corporation. Fox Entertainment was almost sued by Fox News over an episode in which The Simpsons did a parody of Fox News with all the graphics at the bottom, with all sorts of blatantly right-wing messages commenting on a political campaign. And Fox News is upset, claiming that the parody would confuse viewers, that they wouldn't be able, which was an interesting kind of claim, they wouldn't be able to tell the difference between The Simpsons and Fox News, which is sort of a complaint that admits more than I think they wanted to. So that, according to Groening, they came close to having one part of Fox suing another part of Fox. But they have remained pretty free. I think Fox has recognized they would seriously damage the credibility of the show and sort of lose the marketability of the show if they were seen as interfering too much. So in some ways, the jokes about Fox help reinforce that credibility to show that they can say things about the network they're on, tell viewers to change channels or decry the vulgarity of Fox programming, and that kind of adds to the credibility of the show. So it's also smart marketing on the part of Fox Entertainment. Not that TV executives always engage in smart marketing, but I think this is an example of that.
Well, we've got the movie coming out in real short time, mm-hmm. and already the publicity has been ramped up for this thing unbelievably. They've had a kind of a contest where all the Springfields
right.
competed, and it was Vermont that came mm-hmm. out on top for that. They showed a 10-minute segment of it in London recently, and there's all the papers have been writing, just spending loads of time writing about this. What are you looking for when you go into the theater and you sit down and you've paid your $8, which is $8 more than usual to see The
That's
Simpsons?
Right. That's right.
What are you looking for?
Well, I think the number one thing for me is probably not any different than most fans, in that the number one thing is that it's funny. And it seems, I know that sounds kind of simple, but if you talk to the writers of the show, they get a lot of praise for how smart the show is. And you know, people like me, professors, will give them credit for, as I said, all the different allusions on the show and how culturally informed it is. But they know that the foundation of the show is that it's comedy. And if something isn't funny, you can't talk somebody into thinking it's funny. And I think that's one of the reasons it's taken so long for this movie to appear. You know, part of the buildup is Simpsons fans have been waiting for this movie probably for over 10 years when the first sort of rumors came out that the show was thinking of doing a movie. Fox Studios was interested in their doing a movie. But Groening and the writers have been very, very careful about waiting until they really thought they had a premise that would allow them to make a funny big screen version of the show. They've had a couple of false starts. An episode from, I guess almost 10 years ago now, about Bart and Lisa going to a theme park, or Camp Krusty, a summer camp based on the Krusty the Clown TV show, was originally a premise for a Simpsons movie they decided they didn't have enough for a movie. It would work better as an episode of the show. So we've been waiting a long time. And in some ways, that kind of adds to the pressure. But being consistently funny from the beginning of the movie, I think Simpsons fans will give them a few minutes out of loyalty to the show, but it's got to be funny. Comedy is a very brutal business, much more so than drama. You know, with drama, you can say, that's interesting, and you know, if you're not really engaged in something. But with comedy, demands a kind of visceral, emotional connection with the viewers. And there's something very honest about laughing. It's hard to fake laughter. It means you're making a connection. I think that's why it's effective as satire. Regardless of what your professed opinions are about a certain subject, if somebody can make you laugh, they're getting at something true about you, that you're revealing something about yourself. And all those times we will laugh and say, oh, I shouldn't laugh at something like that, or that's not really funny. You know, our sort of official censor comes in and is sort of embarrassed that we laughed at something. There's a real authenticity to comedy, which I think is what people like about The Simpsons. And I think that's going to be the number one thing. If the movie's not funny, they're going to be in big trouble. But the previews have all seemed really funny so far, so I'm optimistic.
Well, thanks very much. John Alberti, the editor of Leaving Springfield, and as it says right in the article, a recognized Simpsons scholar who's also a professor of English at Northern Kentucky University. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And for Around Cincinnati, I'm Frank Johnson.
If you want to make your move, you gotta play it cool. Now what you gotta do if you want to get a kiss is act real smooth and make your move like this. Oh, I see. So if I take your advice and make your patented move, then my chances for love will slightly improve. Now what's that rule? Play it cool.